Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore, Jr.
Thank you all. I'm just really excited to be here today. Now, we've all, you know, as far as the Bible is concerned, we know about the book of Genesis. We know about choices. We've all heard that. I know our parents have told all of us about making choices. I can still recall when I was younger, some of the conversations my mom used to have with me about the choices that I make, the things that I do. I even remember clearly when I was, I guess I was turning 15, 16, you know, the age where you're really starting to get interested in girls. And she was telling me about, you know, the choices that I'm going to make, talking about the future that I had in front of me, trying to warn me against some of the stumbling blocks that was out there facing me. And she tried to just to get me prepared for some of the things that I was going to face in life. But I remember she said, everything that happens in your life is going to be a choice. And she said, in everything that you choose, there's a consequence for it. And I want us to understand that, because I think I went on a little tiny small tirade on last week, because I guess when I was telling my wife and Giselle, Missionary Giselle Davis, yesterday, we went out to have lunch after the women's conference was over. And I don't know how many of you can relate to this, but sometimes you get in a place in your life where you are absolutely done with foolishness. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
You just get in a place in your life where you are completely done with foolishness.
Yeah.
It even gets to the place straight where you can't even tolerate it. I'm serious. You can't even tolerate it in your lives, because you're trying to get somewhere. And how many of you know that there are obstacles and forces out there that see you trying to progress but want to pull you back to where they are?
Yeah.
And here's the thing: they don't want to go anywhere, but they don't want you to go anywhere along with them.
Yeah.
So now I know that there was a saying years ago. I think it was even a movie or a play, you can do bad all by yourself.
Yeah.
You see, you don't have to choose a partner or choose a friend or a wife or a husband or anyone else to help you to do bad. I promise you, you don't need any help to do bad.
Yeah.
If you make the wrong choice, I guarantee you bad will follow.
Yeah.
So now, but let's talk about the beginning of the choices and what a choice. Let me give you a definition. Now, I didn't go to Webster for this, but I thought about just lifestyle and what choices are. So here's my definition. If you can write it down if you like. What is a choice? It's an option to select or not to select. It's really that simple. It's an option to select or not to select. But now hear this. Not selecting is a choice as well. So you can't say, well, I'm not going to choose, because that is a choice. When you choose not to choose, that is a choice. So it doesn't matter how you try to get out of it. You're going to make a choice in everything you do in life. You get up this morning, or when you got up this morning, you had to choose whether or not you wanted to get out of bed in time to come to service. You had to choose what type of clothes you wanted to wear. I went in my closet and I said, what am I going to wear today? So I said, well, you know what? I think I'll wear the gray shirt with the black suit. It was a choice. Everything you do in life, I chose the socks and the shoes that I put in. I mean, I chose to go to Dunkin' Donuts to get me some coffee before I got here. I did. Everything we do in life, we're choosing. So now, if we go back to Genesis, I'm going to give you, this is going to be a brief synopsis of what each chapter really represents. Because we heard individually of the chapters and, you know, how God in the beginning was the Word was with God. We know what the chapters say. But now, what do they represent in our lives individually? So I did some study on this, and I want to start again with Genesis chapter 1, because it tells of the choice that God made to create the earth and the species mankind. So before this earth was even here, God made a choice to create it. Now, I looked up, I Googled this morning the planets, because I wanted to see, Lisa, in proximity, how large Earth was in proximity to the other planets. Now, we got a college student in here, so I'm sure, you know, scientifically, you probably know, Jay, where I'm going with this already, but I was curious because, I mean, these are things, you understand, Javon is 22. His grandfather is 64. I have forgotten the things that he's studying right now. I don't remember. So how many of y'all thank God for Google?
Amen.
I thank God for Google. I do. I do. Because, I didn't have to do it. I didn't have to wait until tomorrow for the library to open.
Yeah.
I just Googled it, and, you know, what is the size of Earth in proximity to the other planet? So Earth actually is the fifth largest planet of the nine. So now, and I looked at them, and here's the thing. They show them in size, as far as, you know, how large they are, in proximity to the size of the sun. So it's just amazing. When we finally get down to the size of Earth, it's so tiny. I mean, and Pluto is the smallest, and it's like, you almost can't even see it. I mean, if I were to do a drawing on this board of the nine planets, by the time that I got to Pluto, you wouldn't even be able to see it. I mean, it's that small. So the Bible says, what is man that you are mindful of us? So why did God even create the earth? And when he created it, why did he choose earth of all of the other places? And I'm sure of the nine planets that we know of, I'm sure there are many more places in eternity that we have no idea about. So what was so special about earth that God made a decision that he was going to choose this place? What happened even before God created the earth that made him want to choose not only to create earth, but to create something called man that never existed to live on this earth? So now everything is a choice. So Genesis 1 tells us that God made a choice to create the earth, to create mankind. It shows the care and attention that God gave to this small planet. So God had to get the planet ready, because the Bible says, the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So it was not prepared. It was not ready for us to inhabit. So God had to get it ready. So he made a choice. Again, listen, he made a choice to get this earth ready, because he knew that when it was done, we were going to show up. So now I want you to get this, because many of us feel as though that we are a speck, that God doesn't know us, that, you know, how many of you have ever said, why am I even here? You know, why do I exist? Many people feel this way because you just don't understand that from the very beginning, God had you on his mind. You just got to get this thing in your spirit. From the very beginning, from even in times eternal, when we didn't even know anything about anything, God knew you. God knew you. From times eternal, God knew you. He knew Earth. He knew Uranus. He knew Saturn. He knew Jupiter. He knew all of the planets, but he chose Earth because it fit the mold of what he wanted to give us. You see, Earth is a gift from God to us.
Yes.
It was void, it was dark, it was uninhabited, but God prepared it for the person or the people that he would one day create and then make. You got to understand now, I want y'all to get this. God did not only, Jay, create you, but he made you. See, if he had created us, we were not ready. We were not physically ready to inhabit the earth, because he created us in his image, which was what? A spirit. So God, he created man, and then he made man, but before he did that, he got the earth ready. So I want y'all to see the order of God. Because I used to do ministerial classes, and ministers from all their, you might remember that when we was at the bowling alley, and I had ministers from, even pastors, coming from all over the state of New Jersey. I think at one time we had like, what, 19, 20 ministers and pastors in our teaching. And it was a six-week training, and it was on order and structure and how to behave yourself in the house of God and how to teach and train ministers and deacons and what they should do. And somebody, or the young man, you know, as always, you know, because young people can be very rebellious. I know none of y'all were like that, but I'm talking about the people outside of restoration. They can be very rebellious, not want to listen. So this young man, Jay, he said to me, he said, Pastor, I don't understand. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, why go through all of this? I mean, you know, you should just, you know, accept people for how they are. I said, well, young man, I'm not trying to change people. I'm trying to establish order. Yeah, but it doesn't really matter what you do. So I said, well, if you can back that up scripturally, I'm with you. Here's the thing. Everything from the beginning of time, from the first time we read anything in the Word of God, it shows God establishing order.
Yes.
How many of you know you got to have order in your house?
Yes.
Everybody in the house can't be the one telling everybody what to do.
Yes.
I mean, I can't imagine it. With Trey's attitude allowing, you know, one of his children to say, no, Dad, you're going to do what I say to. I can't even imagine the ramifications of that. I get tickled even thinking about it. Because there's got to be order in everything that we do. And see, this is what I'm trying to get us to see. Because everything that we do is a choice because we were created by God who established choices. You see, in eternity, there's no need to make a choice because everything there is holy and reverent. So, but God, just like He created time, God created choices. God established that we have to make a choice even if we're going to serve Him. How many of you know that's a choice?
Amen.
So now let's look at Genesis. He established the plans. He talks about the preparation. Necessary. It was necessary to get this place ready. So now, God then began to establish structure, Pat. He said, okay, now I could blink, Lisa, and everything would be done. But because I know, you know, one day, some 6,000-7,000 years later, Lisa's going to be sitting, you know, at the comfort suite at Restoration Christian Ministries, and Pastor Baysmore, because I've anointed him to do this, he's going to be talking about this. So I need to establish structure and order so that everybody in Restoration understands that everything has order. How many of y'all get that?
Amen.
So let me show you what he did. Instead of blinking and just saying, you know, okay, everything is here, he did everything by day. The first day. Now, he could have done everything at one time. He said, no, I need to set a standard so that, you know, when you begin to establish your life, you understand the need of structure. Every time that I work on a job, when I go there, the first thing they do is give me the job requirement. They let me know what is expected of me. With me, I better slow down because I'm getting happy now. My God. But they let me know what was expected of me. So now, here's the thing. God said, no. We're going to do this slowly. So on the first day, and I know you're saying, well, was there anything as a day? No, not yet. Because God had to create time. You see, He didn't just create the earth. Because in eternity, there is no, you know, 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock or Tuesday. There is no time. So God had to create time so that we can understand structure. Do y'all get that?
Yeah.
So the first day, He created light. Now, this was very appropriate because the Bible says that God is light and He is the Father of light. So the first thing that He did was to pull something out of Himself so that we will be able to see. How many of y'all know that because of the Word of God, we can see spiritually?
Yeah.
Are y'all seeing the connection here?
Yeah.
God, who is light, He pulled light out of Himself and brought it from eternity into time to begin. Now, there was already darkness, so He didn't say darkness go away. Darkness remained, but He created light so that there could be light and darkness. Do y'all get this? Just follow me. I'm going somewhere with this. So now on the second day, He created the sky and waters, vapors. So every day there was something, and listen, there was a reason that He created it in the order that He did. So the second day He created the sky and the waters. Now look, on the third day, get this, He created the sea and the earth, the physical earth. So do y'all see what He's doing here? He's establishing structure and order, but now get this, on the fourth day, He created the sun, the moon, the stars, to preside have a way of separating those. So he created the sun. He created the moon to shine at night. He created the stars along with that. Now their job, their task, was to preside over the day and the night. Do y'all get it?
Yeah, yeah.
So everything with God is structured. There is order. How many of y'all love disorder?
Amen.
Some of y'all said amen. Everybody loves structure and order. Everybody. Now, I don't care. You can get the sloppiest person in the world. Now, I just so happen, and I don't know, Pat, I don't even know how Darlene lives with me. Now, I don't, because I've got this thing about neatness. I get ridiculous with it. I mean, I'm out of order. I'm out of order. I mean, I get crazy with it. I remember the first time Darlene came. Can I tell this? Okay. I remember the first time she came to visit me. You know, that's when I was trying to kick it to her. So she came to visit me by my apartment. And I just like, now, for those of you that know me, I like to decorate. That's what I like. I enjoy that. I like going in a place. Do y'all remember the building that we were in on Route 130? Y'all remember that building? Yeah, well, see, do y'all remember what the building looked like before we moved in?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do y'all remember your pastor standing there in the front of the building? And I was pointing to y'all, I was pointing to the back wall, and I said, this is going to be the accent wall. And everybody was standing there like, yeah. I said, y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. They said, we can't see it, Pastor. But there's something about order. Now, there are those of us that God has gifted as far as decorating. You can see that. How many people in here are artists? Anybody an artist? You're an artist. Now, the difference between an artist that draws and a regular person, they can see the finished product before they start. That God can see. Let me tell you something. This is why God had to calm himself down. Because if he had done everything all at once, I don't know, he probably would have blown us away. So he had to do things segmented. He had to do things day by day because he was excited.
Yes.
He was excited. Now, all of heaven, they didn't know what a man was, but they kept hearing about it. And I'm sure they were the angels of the Lord. What is a man? What is he talking about? But God was excited. Now get this. He was excited about you. He was excited about you.
Yes.
He
yes.
saw Corbin from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
He saw Lisa from the foundation
yes.
of the world. And he said, that's good.
Yes.
That's great. My God. My, my, my. So now, he created those things to preside. Now on the fifth day, he created fish and birds to fill the water and the skies. Now, he couldn't create the fish before the water was here. He couldn't create the birds before the sky was there to fly in. There was no atmosphere. He had to create it. So he created an atmosphere, created water, then he put fish in the water, then he put birds in the sky. He did all of this for your benefit, so you can understand the power of structure and choices. Day six, he created you. He created mankind. This was God's crown and glory. He created mankind on the sixth day. And then when he created the water, he said, that's good. When he created the skies and the light, he said, that's good. But when he created man, guess what he said? That's very good.
Yeah.
My God. Now, are y'all getting the vision that he was probably a little bit excited?
Yeah.
But now, on the seventh day, I want you to get this, he rested. Now, I really want you to get this because even in working, there is a day that we have to set aside to rest and recover ourselves and recoup ourselves. He did something with the seventh day that he didn't do with the others. The Bible says he blessed it and he sanctified it.
Yeah.
Do y'all get this? The day that's set aside for us to rest is blessed and sanctified. Now, let's go a little bit further. Y'all getting this?
Yeah. Amen.
So that's chapter 1. Now, chapter 2 tells of the formation of a man. Now, we already said that in Genesis, and y'all have heard me say this before, Genesis 1:26, he talks about, well, let us create man in our image. But now, he created a spirit, so mankind wasn't actually physical here. So what he was saying then, let us bara. Bara means to make something from nothing. So man was not even a spirit, so he made man in his image, which is a spirit. So that word is, look at your name, it's a bara. So now God borrowed man from the beginning, but then when it came time to put man on the earth, now look at your name again and say, Yatsa.
Yatsa.
He formed man from something that already was. So now he caused a mist to come on the earth. That mist made the ground muddy at this. He planted a garden. He caused the trees to grow that was pleasant and good for food and nourishment. He placed man in the garden. Now, I want y'all to see, these are all choices. Everything that God did, he chose to do this. Now, let me say, I'm choosing to make man. I'm choosing to even to plant a garden in Eden so that mankind can live in. I'm choosing to plant trees and things of this nature so man can nourish himself. I choose to place him in the garden. Now, something happened right after he placed man in the garden. This is where I'm going. He exposed man to something that man had never been exposed to before. A choice. He said, of everything in the garden, you can eat of, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat of that tree unless you would die. So now man was faced with something he had been faced with before, because mankind was used to fellowshipping with God. But how many of you know that, well, maybe, yeah, let me put this on me, because y'all probably didn't go through this. But one of the first times I dated, you know, when I was in high school, I had a choice. I mean, I wasn't a player, but I kind of had a couple of choices. No, I did. I had a choice to make. Because I knew, Jay, that, you know, this one girl that I was really feeling her, you know, I said, man, you know. But then, you know, being young, just like it happens sometimes, somebody new came to the school, and I was like, whoa. I think I might want to revisit my choice. Be careful, Michael. You got to go home. I said, I think I might want to relook at my choices. So that was actually my first experience, you know, being in a place where I felt a little confused, because I thought I wanted one thing. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I thought I wanted one thing, but then something else was shown to me that got me a little confused. And this is what happened with man. He was used to having fellowship with God, but then something happened. The Bible says that he told man of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which tells me something, Trey. Now, Trey, I want you to follow my line of thinking, because you think like your pastor do. If he said, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I'm presupposing that there was such a thing as evil. So now, if everything that God made was good, where did evil come from? Why was there even a choice to choose from something that was not a part of the original creation? Let me tell you something. There's always somebody that wants to get in the middle of your relationship. How many of y'all know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can have something good going with somebody. Somebody else will look at it, and they want to get in the middle of it, not because they want you so bad. They just don't want the other person to have you. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So the enemy was the one from eternity, from time's eternal, to rebel against God. And he was the adversary of God. He was always the adversary of God. But now he left his heavenly abode, and now he came to bring evil down to where mankind was. And God said, now, I didn't plant that tree, but I want you to understand this. That tree there, do not eat of that tree. The tree of life is yours to have. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I'm giving you something you've never had before. I'm giving you a choice. How many of you know you got that same choice today? See, we can't blame Adam and Eve, you know, for the choices they made, because we are making the same choices right now.
Yeah.
Every day the enemy is getting into your head, getting into your mind, getting into your heart, making you do things that you don't want to do. Now, I know y'all don't know nothing about that, but Paul does. Paul said, every time that I want to do good, yeah, evil is always present with me. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So he presupposed that mankind, the enemy, presupposed that mankind would choose evil over good. And I've always, Trey, wondered why. Why is it that we have something so good? Maybe y'all can answer this. Because I had this question. I was talking to someone, my neighbor actually, stopped me and asked me would I pray for their daughter. And she's 19. And she said, basically, you know, she's having this struggle, you know, with her, I don't know, I'm not going to call him a thug because I've never met him, but he's not their idea of the type of person they want their daughter to be with. And we called them, Trey, when I was coming up, we called them the bad dudes. You know, the ones that say, I was old, even though I was an athlete in high school, at least I was one of the corny ones. No, I was. I wasn't cool. I mean, I was a good athlete. I was a very good athlete. I just wasn't one of the cool ones, you know. I mean, I didn't look like, you know, Humpty Dumpty or anything, but I just wasn't one of the cool ones. I mean, I just wasn't. So I had somebody, and I'm not gonna call her name, but this young lady, she wasn't a part of my high school, but I kind of liked her, you know. But now one of the bad guys, you know, it would be kind of symbolic of the guys today that have the pants hanging and the underwear showing. I don't get that, but you know, maybe because I'm old, but it was kind of symbolic of that, one of those types of guys. And you know, and I thought me and I can say her first name. I thought me and Iva, we really had something good. But I was 15, and she was 16. So I was like, oh yeah, I mean, I'm crazy about her. And man, when the cool dude came by, Pat, she dumped me like I never existed. So you always wonder, sometimes when you have something that's going so good, why do we make choices to choose bad? What is it that the enemy has to offer that makes us want to choose things that God has not given us? Tell you something else. He taught man responsibility. He taught man to do things that were legal and right. He taught man the power of his word. So now, when he came to Adam, and he came to Eve, but he came to Adam first, he gave man a kind of an assignment. He gave him Cheryl a job. He gave him a job. He gave him a task to do. He created the garden, and then he put man in the garden to take care of it. Guys, listen. You are responsible as stewards of God to take care of the thing that God blesses you with. Let me say this. Now imagine Cheryl getting a new car. Come on, clap your hands. Oh. Whoa. Y'all really excited for Cheryl?
Yeah.
Okay, act like it. Now, Cheryl does not rotate her tires on her car.
Oh, what?
Oh, y'all not. Cheryl does not change the oil in her car. What? Y'all not clapping? Cheryl does not pay her car payment. Well, what happened to all the excitement? This is the same thing that happened with us when we were given a choice to either serve God or serve the enemy. Everything that we wanted, God had given it to us already. But here's what happens. The enemy makes us believe that there's something out there that God has not given us that we are worthy of, and God doesn't like us. That's why he didn't give it to us. Listen, there's always someone to make you think that what you have is not good enough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God gave us everything that we needed. He gave us, you know, a beautiful place to live. He gave us everything that we needed to eat. He gave us the ability to reproduce. He gave us the ability to have seeds, trees that had seeds in it, but yet we chose something else. What is that thing in us that we choose the thing that God does not want us to have? Why do the good girls always choose another head guy? Somebody please help me with that. I don't know what that thing is, but this is what happened in chapter 2. The formation of man, so mankind was put on the earth. But now let me tell you something. God established also in chapter 2 the first institution. I want you to think about what's happening in this country right now. And maybe it's not bothering you guys, maybe it's just bothering me. But the thing that has come under attack the most in this country right now is the institution of marriage. That is what has come under attack the most, is the institution of marriage. Let me tell you how. Now it's being said that it's not only good for a man to be married to a woman, but now it's okay for a woman to be married to a woman and a man to be married to a man. This is Satan's way of perverting the good thing that God has given us. I want y'all to understand this. Every good thing the enemy, even, let me tell you something, the thing that we like the most is the thing that's been perverted the most, music. I want you to think about this. Every good thing, even dancing. Do y'all understand that dancing, you know, see, in the church, this is what has happened. Young people have been driven from the church, Jay, because, you know, my generation was told that dancing is evil and of the devil. And I said, well, damn, how can I do it so good? kiss a girl. I could make, listen, you tell somebody they can't do something, and that's the first thing, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? That's the first thing that I wanted to do. So now, everything good that God has given us, the enemy's job is to pervert it and make it seem like it's something bad. Look at music for a moment. Music changes people's emotions. If I were to put on, what is that song that we played on Offering Tray? What is that song called, the one I like so much?
Offering?
Yeah.
Testimony, the one I played
today?
War.
War. That's the one. Y'all remember this mean war? So we start rearing our shoulders back, and you know, I'm telling you, if something happens to you, when music is what. Now, when we play that other song, the slogan that's so fill me with your glory. You know, we start getting real emotional, and you know, that's the power of music. Now, God intended for this music to give Him glory, not to give us glory, but to give Him glory. See. Worship. Now, you choose to worship. Now, let me tell you something. I refuse. Sweetheart, I refuse to come to church. Because I remember, now, y'all don't know this pastor. She knows a little. But, see, pastor, I was a partier, like, could dance, would dance. I'd go on a club, Lisa, with my girlfriend. I remember, Pat, me and Jan going to the Cheetah. Is that was that the Cheetah in New York is a nightclub, baby. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it exists now, but yeah. Oh, it still does? Wow. Man. Talking about longevity. Oh my God. Bad job. But I remember going to the Cheetah. I remember this like it was yesterday. I went there, it was me and Jan, Ricky and Edith, and this guy George and Cheryl, Edith's best friend. And we got out of the car. Now I'm getting out of there. No music playing, but I'm getting out of the car like this. Straight up. I mean, no lie. I'm so ready to pop. I'm about to bust that floor up. I mean, I was like, so ready. So I'm like doing all of this. What I didn't realize was that me and Ricky and George, because they had one of those three sitting in the front, three in the back. Y'all know these old cars, right? So the three guys were sitting in the front. The three girls were sitting in the back. So now I'm the driver. So now I'm all excited. You know how you just start smelling? What is that smell? Whatever. I get out of the car. Edith gets out of the car. Cheryl gets out of the car. And then Jan gets out of the car. She was ripped.
Oh
my God. She been smoking weed. No, it's a true story. I'm telling y'all the truth. She been smoking weed. And Jay, she was drinking rum and coke. So now, when she got out of the car, I'm ready to party. She was feeling good. She was chilling. I mean, she looked at me and I was like, what is wrong with you? She said, I want to go home. I said, what you want to go home for? You know. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. I'm totally embarrassed by this time. So we sat her in the car. You know, Cheryl and a couple of the girls sat in the car. Meantime, me, Ricky, and George, we went in the club. No, we didn't. We didn't care. I had to get my party on. Y'all don't understand, man. The brother had to get his party on. That was my choice. I don't even know what y'all laughing at. But the brother had to get y'all don't understand. I mean, I had waited to show up for 2 hours, man. Now, I couldn't let high and drunk stop my getting my party on. The brother had to get his dance on. Javon, that was my choice. So I guess in the interim, after about 30 minutes, they came in. So she had sobered up a little. So she came out on the floor to dance with me. And so by this time, I'm sweating. Shirt soaking wet. I'm serious. I mean, I'm just like, and I'm looking, I'm going from girl to girl. I'm just, the music, you know, now y'all know in the clubs, the music don't stop. They just mix it and it goes from, do they still do that?
Yeah.
It goes from one song to the next song. So now your pastor, man, I don't think, yeah, they do. Shut up, man. Shut up. Only at Restoration. My man. But hold up. So now, this is a true story. So I'm still talking about choices, guys. I want y'all to understand this. So it was my decision, it was my choice that when we got there, now listen, I wasn't a smoker and a drinker. That wasn't my thing. My thing was I wanted to dance. That was my thing. And just like now, you ain't gonna, like, you see me praising God and I'm all excited, and you know, my kids even used to laugh at me. Oh, Dad, man, why are you bugging? That's what they're, Dad, why are you bugging like that doing praise and worship? Why aren't you? do you understand where God has brought us from?
Yeah.
Do you know the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you? Do you understand the time that I was in the basement in tears wondering, and now I get a chance to give God the glory?
Yeah.
Man, what's
with
that? There's nothing wrong with me. I think there's something wrong with y'all.
Yeah.
And I had that same attitude when I was at the club. Pet out hell, I didn't hold back. I was dancing with Jan for about 2 songs, and she said, well, I'm going to sit down. And I said, all right, and I just did like this. I went and grabbed another girl. Brother kept running. I was pushing it. I chose. Now, sometimes you got to make things funny for people to get it, but it's actually the truth. I chose not to drink and not to get high. I wanted to dance. This is something inherent inside of us.
Yes.
God gave us the ability and the gift to dance and to magnify his name.
Yes.
Did you all understand that? Yes. Who you give that praise to is your choice.
Yes.
But the ability to dance and to give God glory,
yes,
is inside of you.
Yes.
That's why, you know, Jesus said, if you don't give me praise,
yes,
those rocks will cry out.
Yes.
Because there's something about praise,
yes,
that moves all the heaven.
Yes.
So that's all that was happening in chapter 2. Chapter 3, and I'm done. Here's what chapter 3 is about. Chapter 3 begins the history of mankind's response to choice. Mankind chose to disobey God. They chose to disobey. They had an opportunity to worship, but they chose to disobey. Mankind had the choice to live in luxury and glory. How many of y'all want to live in luxury?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know? How do you know you want to live in luxury? Some people said everything I like is expensive, but what makes y'all think that's a luxury?
I love the Lord, and he's a luxury.
So. Hello. Let me tell you something. Here's what has happened.
I love it.
The world has defined to us what luxury is, so we chase after their definition of that. But the real luxury, Nikki, is being in the presence of God and giving him praise, because out of the praise, the luxury that the world talks about comes to us.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us, seek first the kingdom of God,
yeah,
your choice, and his righteousness, and the luxury,
yes,
will follow.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Do y'all get this?
Yes. Yes.
So mankind, chapter 3, is all about mankind's choice,
mm-hmm,
to disobey God.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened when they disobeyed. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Women then were cursed with a curse to bear children, but in pain. Mankind's work was supposed to be a luxury, but work trade became a job. Let me ask you this. How many of you in here love your job? One person.
I get it.
Sometimes.
I will
Monday. Here's the thing. Because of disobedience, which is a choice, you see, you can't involuntarily disobey. Either you get the instructions. Now, let's talk about the job. Dominique starts her new job tomorrow. Let's see. Now, she's been to two or three meetings already before her job starts. So she has a clear understanding of the description and what's expected of you on that job. Now, she was telling me this morning about a meeting that was on yesterday, about a meeting that she was a part of, and some of the things, some of the dynamics that happened in the meeting. Now, here's the thing. When you accept the position, you accept the responsibility that goes along with it. That's a choice. Do y'all get this? Everything that God gave mankind, attached to it is responsibility. He gave mankind, Javon, the power to make things happen just by speaking words. He told Adam, I want, before I bring Eve, because he did say it's not good for man to be alone, but even before he brought Eve, he took Adam to the side, he showed him all of these animals that he created. He said, now, let's practice what I did from the beginning. Because in the beginning, I just said, and it happened. Is that right?
Yes.
God said, let there be. God said, and it was. God said, and it was. So he said, now, Adam, it's your time, because you're created in my image. I want you to understand that the same thing that I do, you have the power to do as well. So now, let's practice, Adam. I'm putting all these animals in front of you. I want you to give them a name. And whatever you call them, that's what they're going to be. Paul clarified this by saying that we have the power, as God does, to call those things that be not as though they are. So what does that mean, Ruth? It means this. Though you don't have the job, you have the power, because of your tongue, to rejoice and call it forth before you see it.
Amen.
You have the power to call forth the Ohio State, not Ohio State, but the Ohio State, before it even happens, because of the power of your word.
Yes.
Your daddy has the power to call things that be not as though they are, and so do you.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.